Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Sarah Wineshank episode. Sarah was highly recommended by her friend Rachel Wolfson, and it was awesome she came through. My favorite part of her interview was when Sarah talked about her Comedy Central original show, Shanks for Smoking, as well as her talking about coming up through the LA comedy circuit. So thanks for tuning in. And peace.
Ooh la la.
Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. This episode is brought to you by Mack Weldon. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome, for the very first time, comedian Sarah Wineshank. Shank?
Yeah,
Shank. I said, okay, Wineshank. I said
you
it right.
You got it, you got it.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
You were highly recommended by your friend,
yeah.
Rachel Wolfson.
Yeah, Wolfie.
Wolfie.
Yeah.
Is that her nickname?
Yeah, I call her Wolfie. I mean, like, at first I was like, this bitch wants me to call her Wolfie.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I don't know. It just, everyone calls her that, and it works for her.
Do you know her mom's the person, she put away OJ?
Yeah, her mom's the judge that put OJ in jail.
Isn't that crazy?
It's so crazy.
I was like, she told me that, I'm like, it just kind of like flew by my head. And then I'm like, hey, I'm going to look that up. And then there's like, she really did it.
I know.
Have you met her?
The mom?
Yeah.
I'm meeting her actually on Friday. I'm meeting Rachel's Wolfie's mom on Friday.
Are you nervous?
Kind of.
She's a judge.
Right?
Are
we going to smoke weed? Probably.
I wouldn't recommend it before meeting her mom.
Right?
Yeah, because you could probably see through
it. I just got nervous about it.
You did?
Yeah.
It's okay. You could probably.
Am I nervous about smoking weed in front of Wolfie's mom now?
You should
because she put OJ in jail. I feel like she's got to know her daughter smokes lots of weed.
How much do you guys smoke? I'm just curious. I quit, but I used to smoke a lot. But, yeah. But how, like, wake and bake?
Sometimes, but it looks like you're someone who smokes weed. You have all these like fun things. Like, well, I don't know if that's
well,
like
this is my creative outlet.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is your creative wall. What is it?
I don't know. So that's a very good question.
Okay.
When I started the podcast 2.5 years ago, it was by the hot plate.
Okay.
And it was just one chair there.
Okay.
And there was no desk. So
okay.
It was really awkward. It was just me. And then the guest was like right next to me and we would just be looking at each other.
Right.
And then I'm like, you know, I want to go to IKEA and get like a desk to corner it off.
It's perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah. So this is really like the backdrop of your podcast.
Yeah. All this stuff. And then a lot of these stickers have been previous guests. Like Lasco, Nathaniel, Shorty, DJ Shorty. That's Alice. Malicious Creatures. That's Alice's clothing company.
Yeah.
Bat Bud is he's like a fan. That's always, you know, he's an artist. A lot of artists send like packages.
I love
and stickers.
It.
Yeah.
I like that Pendleton ad. A man never
oh, you
has
do.
Enough Pendletons. Yeah,
yeah,
it's ridiculous. Thank
you for you're the first one that brought that up because. Pendletons, I only have two in my closet, but they're pretty hard to find.
They are hard to find. They're great plaids.
Mm-hmm. Explain to the viewers and listeners what a Pendleton is.
A Pendleton is a type of plaid / flannel, like men's outerwear thing.
And they're based out of Oregon.
Are they based out of Oregon?
Yeah.
And they have like great, their stuff's expensive and it's really nice and it lasts a really long time.
And they're female, like wool. Flannels
yeah.
and jackets.
Fan.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Are you, do you have, do you own Pendletons as well?
I own one Pendleton flannel and then a Pendleton beanie.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah. I want to get to, cause, I saw your photo shoot, by the way.
Oh, you did?
The Cheech and Chong tribute. Yeah, dude, that was sick, dude. Thank you. Up in Smoke is a classic movie.
So Rachel was like, I really want to do this. Let's do it. And I was like, do we want to do it? Because it seems like a pain in the ass to put together a photo shoot. You know what I mean?
It
like,
it looked good. I mean,
it came out amazing, and I couldn't be more excited that we did it. But it's like with like comedy and podcasts and all this different stuff, it's like photo shoots, it seems like I constantly need like content.
Yeah, tell me about it.
It's nonstop.
This is what I started doing, but now I have another vlog where I open packages. I have a PO box and people send in packages.
Ooh.
And then we have another one called Stevie on the Streety, where it's like on the street that. Interviews.
Uh-huh.
And then there's another one too. Oh, we have clips now. Ren's gonna start doing those.
Oh, cool.
So going back to the content, you're saying you have to post a lot.
Yeah, it feels like you constantly have to post, doesn't it?
Well, in today's world, you do.
And it's constant.
Unfortunately. It's kind of sucks.
Or people think you're not around anymore. Like, I haven't heard from this bitch in a week. Who cares about her now?
It's almost kind of like, it says a lot about where we're at as a society as far as, like, our attention spans. And
yeah.
Because, like, back then, it's like, you would wait months for a movie or a year. But now, like, okay, next. Like, I just saw The Joker.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No, I'm freaked out by it.
It's pretty intense.
Okay, I'm not into it. It's like, I'm not into it at all. I've never been into the Joker, the makeup and stuff. Like, I got freaked out about the whole Joker thing after the Heath Ledger stuff. Like, because he was the Joker, then he died. And then right around that time, everyone was wearing that weird Joker makeup. Yeah. And it just kind of freaked me out. So since then, I'm like not on board with the Joker.
Yeah.
But I saw like some random bitch walking down the street with full Joker makeup. And I'm like, one, it's not even close to Halloween yet. Two, like, you're for sure mentally ill.
Right.
And it's like, can you just calm down?
Did you see her right now on the street?
Yes.
Outside of this place?
No. I saw her earlier down the street from here.
Oh, damn. That's crazy. Maybe she was doing her early Halloween kind of warm-up.
Maybe. Thing. Or maybe she's just like super hype.
Yeah.
On the Joker.
You know, You could wait on it, but it's worth at least seeing once.
I'm curious, but I'm also scared. Like, I don't like clownish. I don't like the makeup.
What
like
about Pennywise from It?
Uh-uh. I don't like scary. I don't like scary. I don't like mysteries with murder. I don't watch any of those crime docs.
Why is that? Were you always like that?
Yeah, like, I'm a huge pussy. Like, give me, like, some cartoons and, like, a hug.
Yeah.
That's more my vibe because I already feel like I'm dark enough. Like, watching too much dark shit is not my thing.
Were you always scared of horror movies and stuff?
I mean, I never really. It's just, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Always? I remember when I was a kid, that movie Chucky came out.
Yeah, Child's Play.
Yeah, Chucky came out. And now looking at Chucky, I think it's hilarious.
Yeah,
but, like,
but you were scared as a kid?
As a kid, there was Chucky stuff everywhere, like posters everywhere. And I was like, I remember like crying because was like, get this scary doll. Like, why would I? That's like a kid's nightmare.
Yeah. So you don't, I take it you don't have any dolls laying around your apartment or anything.
No, I'm not a doll bitch.
Okay.
What if I was? What if I was?
Hey, that'd be, I don't know.
Weird.
It'd be weird, but cool.
They were the right dolls.
That's like me having like a G.I. Joe collection or something.
Yeah. I wouldn't be mad at like one or two G.I. Joes. Yeah. Like I like a vinyl figure.
Yeah, yeah. Or toys are cool. Like,
I'm not mad at a vinyl figure.
Yeah.
I have a hipster Minnie Mouse that I like.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm into her.
So do you collect toys?
No, I just have a hipster Minnie Mouse. Okay, and I have a Rosie O'Donnell doll just because I thought it was funny.
She's dope.
Yeah. Well, she's like, it's from OG. When she had her show.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like her in a pantsuit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a ridiculous Barbie doll with Rosie. And it's hilarious.
Rosie O'Donnell. Is she a comic too? I mean.
Yeah, she was a comic.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Where is she now?
I have no idea because I'm trying to like picture her in my mind. Okay, I got it. I know what she looks like.
Oh yeah, you have to know what Rosie looks like. I mean, yeah.
Let's get to your. So, where are you originally from?
From the Valley, from here.
Okay, and then how did you get into stand-up comedy?
So I always wanted to perform, like as a kid and stuff. I would do plays and theater and acting classes. And I remember I was like, Mom and Dad, I want to be an actress, because I grew up in LA. And they were like, no, you're not going to be a
child.
Why
were they so against it?
Because like a lot of the kids that I went to school with, there was like a few stage moms, because I went to school here.
Define what a stage mom is to the viewers and listeners.
Okay,
please.
Stage mom is a mom who, how do you put it, doesn't give a fuck about their kid. And basically spends their whole life trying to pursue their dreams through that of their child.
Oh, so they live out their dreams through their child.
Yeah, vicariously.
So they're taking them to auditions.
Yes.
Like doing new headshots.
Yes.
And saying, you got to get this role. Are you ready?
Yeah, again, from the top.
Right.
You know?
Wow, that's...
And like, I wish my mom was a stage mom. I was like, come on, I want to be going to these auditions. And she was like, no, we're not doing that. And like, in hindsight, I guess it was for the best. But so I always had like an interest in performing. And then after college, I didn't even want to go to college. Like, I wanted to just skip college and just go on the real world. Like, that was my plan.
I remember that show.
I was like, I just want to go in the real world. Like, I don't get why you guys want me to go to college. And then I took an acting class after college, and my acting teacher was like, I think you should do stand up. And he gave me an assignment of writing a bit. And that was like 9 years ago, almost 10 years ago.
Oh, wow. You've been doing it that long.
Yeah.
Hey, good for you.
Yeah.
All right. Good for you. You did it. You did it.
Yeah.
I mean, you stuck with it, too.
Yeah.
So what were those first couple months? Let's hold off on that.
Okay.
We're going to get right back to it because it's a word from our sponsor, Mack Weldon. What do you think about the clothes?
I'm feeling these clothes.
What about the pants? Look at these cool zippers.
I love it.
And the socks.
Ooh, the socks are fun. Yeah. I love a fun sock. I mean, the shirt looks really soft.
Thank you.
Like. Can I feel it? Ooh,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah, better than the Gap.
Yeah, better than the Gap.
Yeah.
Better than actually a lot.
What's that? You can see my socks.
Striped and
only
fun.
At Mack Weldon. So now, word from our sponsor, Mack Weldon. Now a word from our sponsor, Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon's mission statement is to make sure all your basics and beyond are smartly designed and shopping for them is easy and convenient. Mack Weldon is a premium men's essentials brand that believes in smart design and premium fabrics. My experience was super easy and convenient. I didn't have to go anywhere. All I did was go on their website, pick the stuff I wanted, put it into my cart, and then it just came super fast, and it comes super well packaged and clean. I'll give you an example, because I ordered a grip of these awesome socks, some of the best designs and the most comfortable socks you'll ever wear. Okay, so definitely that's a plus. It's super convenient and easy, and they'll ship it right to wherever you're at. Okay. Mack Weldon will be the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, and undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants that you'll ever wear. I could vouch for that. They have a line of silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial, which means odor eliminating. Okay. They want you to be comfortable, so if you don't like your first pair of underwear, you could keep it, and they will still refund you, no questions asked, okay? So my personal experience, okay? So what I'm wearing right now, I got the Ace sweatpants. These are super comfortable, right? Zip pockets, drawstring. They got the cushion. They got the tailored fit, back-ribbed ankle cuffs. Boom, right there, okay? These are super comfortable. You could do any kind of activity in these bad boys. And I also got a grip of them everyday extended crew socks, as you could see. I'm really like picky as far as like the designs of the socks that I'm a big sock guy. And dude, they have some. I mean, dude, these are tight. I mean, look at these, right? Super comfortable socks, dopest designs, cushion footbed, extended crew length. You know what I mean? And I also like, look at this shirt I'm wearing. This is the other thing I got. Look at the fit. It's called the Pima Crew Neck T-shirt, okay? I got the green. Look at that. Fits me perfectly. Soft Pima cotton, recovery collar. And that's the thing about me is if I find, like, it's hard to find a T-shirt that fits me well, and this fits me perfectly. And so now all I have to do is just keep ordering the same size, and I know how it fits. And I could just do that. It's convenient. I'm all about just having it convenient and easy, all right? The fabrics are just super soft and comfy, all right? And then another thing is, what can you do in this gear? I mean, you could basically do anything in Mack Weldon gear, right? I could go walk to Starbucks, get my cappuccino, get my Americana drinks. I could go hike up Runyon. If I wanted to hit the skate park, I could do that too as well in these pants, okay? So basically, you could do anything and everything with Mack Weldon, okay? So I'm going to get to the what you need to know. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter promo code Stevie. I'll put it up there for you, okay? MackWeldon.com and enter promo code Stevie, okay? And also check out their Instagram, Instagram.com/MackWeldon. That's what I meant. Thanks for tuning in. And I'll see you later. Peace. And we're back. So going back to the questions as far as your comedic trajectory, what were your first couple months like doing stand-up? Did you have to hit up open mics and do the whole thing?
Yeah, well, the first couple months before I realized, like, there was, like, a period of time. Like, I would say, like, the first 6 months to a year before you figure out how you're supposed to do stand-up. You're mm-hmm. like, I'm a stand-up, but you're not really. Like, you're still trying to figure out how everything works. Like, when I first started, I didn't understand, like, you go to open mics. So I did, like, bringer shows for, like, a couple months.
Explain what a bringer show is.
A bringer show is when you have to bring your friends to perform.
And sell tickets.
And, like, yeah, sell tickets. And you can't go up unless you have, like, five people there. And, jeez. Like, at the beginning, you're really bad. So it's, like, all your friends are just watching you eat shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
In front of all of your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of friends that, because I grew up here, so I would bring them all to my shows and just bomb and bomb and bomb. Yeah. And then eventually, you know, just from doing it and being around comics, like 6 months in, I realized, okay, you have to go to open mics, and then just really like dedicated my life to it. And
that's
now,
crazy.
Yeah.
What does it take to become a stand-up comedian? Do you, like, how many times does one have to go up on stage every week?
Like five nights a week.
Five
to seven. Like, it's got to be every night, especially in the beginning.
Did you do mics tonight?
No, I didn't do a mic tonight. I have a mic tomorrow and a show tomorrow.
So how do you find all these venues? Like, is there like a directory or is there a website where you find out all this information? How do you find these things?
Which thing? The mics?
The mics.
The mics, you can go to Comedy Bureau and it'll tell you where there's mics. But then, like, after a while, you get, like, now I get more book shows, so I don't have to do as many mics, which is
nice.
So
you made it to the next level.
Yes, but I still do mics to work out new material. Like, tomorrow, like, I'll do the ones where you sign up in advance.
Yeah.
That way I don't have to, like, sit through a mic. Yeah, and I'll know what time I go up, and then I can run my new material. It's just, like, it's really just great to perform with, like, no pressure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Also, I don't know why I just stuttered really fast, really there. Like, okay. Super hard. I was like, I have to address the stutter that happened, like, 30 seconds
fine.
Ago. Okay.
You're fine.
It's a small stroke. Sorry about that.
Because I took a crack at it, like, years ago.
Right.
And I just realized it wasn't my thing, you know? My brother is a pretty well-known comic. But I realized that when I started going to these local mics, it was just other open micers, like, watching you. Is it still like that?
Yeah, it's a very dark, honestly, it's such a dark vibe. right?
Yeah. Well, people are just like, you have to. Well, I used to go to a place called Rocks, Paper, Scissors. Or
oh,
something.
Yeah. No. Rock, Paper.
Rock, Paper.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Rock,
I used
paper.
To host an open mic at Rock,
it's
Paper.
It's a little dinky coffee shop. And
yes.
I'd go there at 4:30 p.m.
Yes.
And then there'd be just another guy just like at a coffee table. And I would sign this thing.
Yeah.
And you would have to buy something.
Yeah.
And then you go there. And then by the time they call your name, like either the other open micers are off to the next mic and they're just leaving, or they're just watching you, like ignoring you, like, hurry
oh my
up,
God.
Hurry up.
I have so many like weird memories from that coffee shop, Rock Paper, because
yeah,
I used
to
host one of those mics.
Oh, God. God bless you.
I know. I
How
really
do you do that?
I can't even think about it without feeling slightly nauseous. It was so bad.
And then Marty's.
Oh, yeah. Marty's, I can't do. You want to know why Marty's freaks me out?
Because Marty's, you have to pay $5 and he ignores you. He used to play this keyboard and like put on his headphones, and then it's like you weren't even there.
Okay. But also the thing that's crazy to me is I remember the first time I went into Marty's.
Well, let's explain what Marty's is.
Marty's is like this weird. How do you explain it?
Marty's is just like an older white guy that bought a building. And like it's like this building with different rooms, but he decided to make it like a space for up and like comedian, like a workshop or something.
It's bizarre. So like, yeah, it's
am I
like,
explaining that
kind
right?
Kind of.
Because
like,
I haven't done it in
it's
years.
It's like
so.
An open. It's a place where comics can do like an open mic, and there's different rooms, but like no one really knows what happens there except open mics. And then sometimes there's comics sleeping there. Like it got real weird. And then
or they're drinking a 40 ounce.
Yeah,
or smoking
yeah.
weed. There's like a slide. Or they used to be like 5 years ago a sliding glass door.
Yes.
And people would sign in, but then it would be like the chill out area.
Yes.
And then the other comics would like, you'd be up doing your thing, but they would just, they couldn't even hear you. They would just be smoking weed and drinking beers.
I do remember people drinking 40s there.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a liquor shop right there. Yeah. But so also the first time I went to Marty's, because Marty is like this kind of, he's a weirdo. The first time I went there, I was like, who the fuck is this guy Marty? And there is a huge picture of him right behind the stage. Of his head.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember that.
I do.
I just remember people, you know what? People treated him like he was, like, you remember, you know that show, The Actor Studio?
Yeah.
It's like, they treated him like he was like the teacher, like the professor.
That was
but
the
like,
vibe.
He had no credits. He was just a guy that like bought a building.
Yeah.
I have a horror story there. It's so embarrassing.
What is it?
I'm getting PTSD thinking about it.
I can't talk about Marty's without getting PTSD.
My whole bit back then, I didn't have jokes. I just did a cowboy rap.
Okay.
Which now turned to a puppet show. I do a puppet show.
Oh, my God. You do a puppet show?
Yeah, I do a puppet show.
Let's see it.
No, it's okay. Well, that's safe. I don't know if it's for, is it? Yeah, there's one after, at the end of this episode, actually.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So I was doing my bit. Doing my cowboy rap, you know, $40 bidder,
no.
facing the manure. I did all that. And then I look up and Marlon Wayans was just watching me with great disappointment.
At Marty's?
He was talking to Marty. He happened.
What was Marlon Wayans?
I don't. No. It was Damon Wayans.
Okay.
It was Damon Wayans. It wasn't Marlon.
I know he
it
does
was
mics.
Damon.
Yeah.
And I didn't know he walked in, and I was like, dude, I was looking like a fool up there. Like, there was no one watching me, and I was like,
because you thought Marty's was safe.
I thought it was just Marty watching me.
Yeah.
And then I look up, and they're like both like in silence.
No.
Just like looking at me, like, you know, and I was just, my face turned red, and I'm like, okay, well, that's my time. And then I just ran out of there.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no,
yeah.
It's okay. Marty's.
God bless Marty, though. He gives people opportunities.
Does he?
I don't know. I mean, you have to pay. Does you have to pay $5?
Yeah, he takes debit card. I remember he was like, I was like, do you have to take debit card? He was like, yeah, I could swipe it right here. He has a Square and everything.
Yeah. Is he an agent? Like, what is his credentials? Who is
he? Doesn't have any. He's just a man. It's exactly what you said. He's just a man with a building and a Square, and he knows how to use his Square. He's like, I'll just charge comics $5, make my money back, and live like a king.
And then certain comics who are homeless or they would like live there.
Yeah, like there people would just
Alex yeah. used to live there.
Yeah, people would live there.
He was so sad. It was another Asian kid. Really? It was Alex. And then I would go, let me check out your room. It was like in the back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I just remember like there was just like a mattress.
Oh,
and
no.
He had like a big ass bong, like that was like this tall. And he like took a bong hit and he looked like depressed. He was like, yeah, I live here. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
You're like, I gotta go. Yeah.
And we'll try to do a mic or I'll try to make flyers for the next show or whatever. Yeah. But yeah.
No, so, Marty.
I'm sorry.
So
it's just a walk down memory lane for me, you know.
I
respect what you do.
Thank you.
Yeah, it takes a lot of hustle and
it really does.
Grind and perseverance.
Yeah, I've done a lot of shitty mics.
How do you make it past that hard, those hardships
to the
next level?
I think it's just consistency.
There you go.
It's consistency and being persistent because eventually, like if you keep doing it, you're going to get better. But it's just like a sport. You know how like athletes have to work out and like go to the fucking gym and be really disciplined in that way. It's kind of like that.
Like, is it really like that?
I kind of view it like that. Yeah.
Why is that? Is it because when you don't speak into the mic in front of people, you get rusty or something?
Yeah. It's just like you have to just keep doing it. And it's also really like I find it to be like addicting. So it's like not only is it better for your comedy, but it gives you like a release that you wouldn't otherwise get.
Yeah, I've heard that from other comics as well.
Yeah.
Not only that, my brother described like adrenaline rush that he gets when he kills.
Yeah,
he's like, I just can't describe it.
Yeah.
But I never got to that point because I never killed.
It's so like the craziest.
I've never felt the adrenaline
it's
rush.
It's like the craziest high you could imagine. It's like the highest high you can imagine.
So do you remember doing all these crap shows and then that one set where it was just like awesome?
Yes, I remember like, but there were so many crappy sets before.
Yeah.
It was like.
But let's hear about the good one.
The good ones?
Yeah. Or the first time you know that you did well and you killed and you're like, whoa, this is different. I'm doing well.
I don't know. I think like because for me, I was a regular on the Kill Tony podcast.
Oh,
for a while.
Shout out to Tony Hinchcliffe. Yeah, he's supposed to get on here as well.
He is.
You know what happened last night?
What?
I got DMs on Instagram saying, "Are you watching Kill Tony right now? You're on it," or something like that. I go, "No, I'm not. I'm at home."
Really?
And it was another Steve Lee, but
no.
and he was Asian too. But I think he was a handicapped. Cat maybe or something.
Oh, I know that guy.
Yeah. So, but I'm Stevie Weeby.
Yeah, that's different.
So
much
but,
different.
But it's a little different, but it's similar too. But I was like, I'm like, what's going on? I thought it was like this whole thing. It was just a misunderstanding of like me knowing what was going on.
I respect it.
So describe how you got involved with the Kill Tony show and what is it?
So Kill Tony is this podcast that. Filmed every Monday at the Comedy Store, and it's hosted by Tony Hinchcliffe and Brian Redban. And so the basic format is that open micers put their names in a bucket. They get to do a 1 minute of stand-up, and then they get critiqued by like a panel of more known comedians. And so
God, that sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, and so when I started that when I started Kill Tony as a regular. I did it for 2 years, so every week I would have to write a new minute of stand-up.
So you were one of the contestants or the people going on?
I was like a regular on the show, like how Ali Makovsky was a regular on the show.
Okay, describe the difference between a person doing their set and a regular.
Okay, so if you do the show as a regular, then every week for you have to write a new minute of stand-up and you have to perform it at the end of the show in front of whoever the guests are. And you have to do it every week. And so I did that for 2 years.
Dude, that's crazy.
And I did that 3 years into stand-up. So I'd kind of just found my voice, but I was still like a little bit anxious about like going up in front of like bigger names and stuff. But after I did well in front of other people who were in comedy, like more known comedians that would like say I did a good job. I felt more like empowered for the first time. Like after doing that show, it made me feel more empowered. I would say
that's good. It was like your gym.
Yeah, Yeah, and it forced me to write, and it forced me to figure out more of like the craft. And then I would get notes from people, and they were like notes that I really wanted and I don't think I would have ever gotten, because people don't just like necessarily give you information about like the craft when you're newer in comedy.
Yeah. So it was kind of like a workshop, and it's like constructive criticism every week.
Yeah.
And you get to work out your faults and improve on your writing.
Yeah.
How do you even start to write? How do you begin to write a joke?
For me, like, writing has never really been a problem. Like, I've always really enjoyed writing. And so the writing part isn't hard, really. Like, I just write down whatever I think might be funny. And sometimes it's funny just to me, and sometimes it's funny to other people, too. But, like, if I have any idea of anything, I just write it down or I tweet it. Mm-hmm. And then I take in the middle of the week when I do my mic, I'll take the list and I'll just read it out loud and see how other people react and figure out how to word it.
Do you workshop with other comedians as well?
Sometimes. Like, when I was a regular on Kill Tony, there was another regular at the same time as me, my friend Kimberly Congdon, who's now in New York. And sometimes we'll get on the phone with each other.
Does she have puffy hair?
Oh,
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of someone else. Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, yeah, you didn't. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You didn't. I was like,
because I think I reached out to her as well.
Kim?
Is she off your friends list? Or like she has pictures with you?
Yeah. It might have been puffy in a photo.
Yeah, I think I reached out to her as well, getting her. And she's like, I'm in New York.
Yeah, then you probably did.
And I said, well, you're always welcome.
Yeah.
There's a platform for you if you want to be a guest.
Cool, that's awesome. Yeah, she's great. So we get on the phone with each other about once a week. We haven't done it in a few weeks, but we'll each set a timer. I'll be like, okay, you have 5 minutes, let's go. And then we'll spend 5 minutes on her joke, and then the timer will go off and we'll spend 5 minutes on my joke.
That's
and
we cool.
Kind of like do that. And like, she's really the only person that I've been able to like do that with. It's weird.
Why is that? Do you think there's just the competitive nature in what you do?
There is a lot of competitive, like, competition,
but it's
also like, you start to realize that like, the people who are successful, like, they have people helping them. You know what I mean? Like, they have a team of people that are probably helping them write their specials, like, at a certain level.
Really?
Yeah. The further and further you get into it, the more help you get from other people, because you can pay other people. Like, it's like, it takes, like, a team of people, I think. Right now, I write all my own jokes. So I'm not at that level of, like, whatever. But like when Ellen did her special, she had people help her write her jokes, and like, that makes sense.
What comedians inspire you? Like, where you look at male or female, where you're like, dude, that's great. I want to be like that. Like Ali Wong, maybe?
I love Ali Wong. Like, Ali Wong's first special, I love so much, Baby.
She's killing it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
5 stars on.
Yeah. Like, Ali Wong, I love. Yeah, of course. And then also, like, I think Bill Burr is a genius. I think that Chappelle's a genius. I also loved Mitch Hedberg.
My brother's pretty damn good, too, isn't he?
Your brother's pretty good.
Bobby Lee's pretty good. We got to throw that in there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. And Bobby Lee.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Eric Griffin, yeah. We gotta add those two, please.
Eric Griffin and Bobby Lee.
You gotta add
those. Eric Griffin and Bobby Lee, they inspire me the most.
They're at least top 10.
Top 10 for sure, yeah. No questions.
One thing I admire about what you guys and gals do is just, like you said, the perseverance and the work ethic. I don't know how in the hell you like get up 5 days. That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, and it's interesting because it doesn't seem like it's work, but then at the end of the week, I'll be like, I'm so fucking tired.
Yeah, and the payoff is kind of in the gray, too, sometimes, right?
The payoff is real hit
or
miss.
It's in the gray.
Yeah.
How do you know?
You don't know.
Until, because I don't think, it's kind of like, you know, with any, like, athlete or someone who's successful.
Yeah.
You don't see that athlete training, getting up at 5 a.m, running up a hill.
Right.
But you only see the end result. And I'm sure it's the same with comics. It's like
it is.
They're going up to these mics, bombing, and then finally they're like 4 a.m. they write something that might work, and then that's years of that.
Yeah, well, that's what's crazy is like just to get the material and to like get it to a place where I'm comfortable with it feels like it took as long as I've been doing comedy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And now it's like, okay, now what's the next thing? And just
so,
like,
so how does that work? How does that trajectory work as far as the steps? Do you come up? I've always asked this. 3 minutes, then 5 minutes, then 10 minutes, then 15 minutes, and then 30.
What do you mean?
As far as the time that the chunks that you accumulate over your workload.
It just depends on how much there is to write in a bit. Like, if I want to talk about, like, right now I'm trying to write a bit about men who have pull-up bars in their bedrooms.
Dude, I know your thing. We have a homie that's a UFC, he's a badass. But he's in between video games, he's like doing like 100
pull-ups.
Shit
freaks me out. So I'm like trying to write a joke about it, right? And so for me, the way that I would do it is I pick the subject I want to talk about, and I just like write everything that comes to mind about how ridiculous that is to
why,
me.
Why does that freak you out though? It's physical fitness.
It's like, get a gym, go to the gym.
Oh.
Like, you need to be working out in the same room that you sleep. Like, you're that intense about it. You know what I mean? Like, there's something not right about that to me. And sometimes people have it, like, in their kitchen, like, separating the rooms. It's like, no. So I haven't figured it out yet. That's the thing. So I'll write it down, and then I'll hit, like, all the things I'm thinking about it. And then I'll just take the vague premise to an open mic, talk it out, and see if there's anything there.
There's something there,
right?
Yeah, because we right off the top we're laughing because we knew someone, because you're, you know, right. He could do like 100 pull-ups
because you know a guy that's got it. Yeah. Yeah, there's always a fucking asshole with a pull-up bar in his room. So
is that like a deal breaker if you're like,
yeah, for me,
if you meet a guy,
absolutely,
and you're like, you go back to his place and you see a, like, what are some
deal breakers?
Yeah, because I know there's some red flags in here as well. So you could go ahead. You could comment around the room
no,
too.
No, no, no.
Because I have a barbell over there.
I mean,
toys.
This is killing me. The hot plate.
Wait.
The hot plate is killing me because I'm like, what is happening? Is he camping? It's like, it looks like what you would bring on like camping trip. Yeah, but besides that, I don't mind like this.
So that stood out right when you walked in.
Right when I walked in.
You should have said something,
about,
man,
your hot plate. Yeah, I don't want to judge you.
You know, but it's okay. So that's
but
a
you asked.
But you could bring that camping.
Yeah, you could bring
that.
Because
that takes butane gas.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at the hot plate.
I don't have a kitchen.
No.
That's basically my kitchen.
You improvise and you adapt it.
Tell me what else is wrong with my place.
I really like, okay, you want to know it's bringing up some questions.
Yeah, go ahead. My dream catcher?
Yes. You knew.
Me and my girlfriend, you know.
Okay, that's cute.
We've had nightmares in here. And so she I think it was either me or her suggested that we get a dream catcher to catch the bad dreams.
And is it helping?
No, but.
Try some sage.
I have Palo
Santo.
Santo.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. Tell me what else is wrong with this place.
I mean, nothing else.
You could be honest.
No, I like this horse thing. They like, to me, like, can I be honest? Like, all of this, like, cartoony shit I am into. Like,
okay.
I love it.
Yeah.
So, I love what's happening here. It seems like you have a very large record collection in your fireplace.
Yes.
Which I'm also on board with.
What about the colored pencils? That's not weird.
I love a colored pencil.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
You have some Halloween decorations going, even.
What do you mean?
Well, I thought that was a Halloween decoration. Is that just part of your regular?
That's just my regular setup. That's my regular setup.
No, I thought it was like.
Yeah, describe to the viewers what you're looking at right
it
now.
It looks like, from the side, it looks like a wooden, like, I thought it
was
like
a
Frankenstein.
Oh, no, that's my dad's ashes.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not pointing to your dad's ashes. I'm talking to the doll.
Oh,
about
no,
the
that's
doll.
A doll someone made of me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of weird. Can I just say the doll has striped socks and you're currently wearing striped socks?
There you go. I like striped socks. It's
very on brand. Yeah.
Okay. I like where we're going with this. Yeah, let's go back to like other red flags. This is interesting to me at least.
Red flags.
Pull up bar one, two,
photos of yourself everywhere. Red flag.
That is like...
That's bad.
Pretty self-centered.
Crystals. A man with crystals. Multiple crystals. Yes. I've met a man who was freaking out because his new Yeezys hadn't arrived yet. That was also a red flag. Red flags. If they get super wasted the first time you hang out with them and you're like, I don't even know what you're talking about anymore, red flags.
So you've been on dates like that?
Yeah. Or I've been on dates where I'm like, I actually need to drink a lot of alcohol to tolerate you and I don't really drink. So that would be a red flag for me personally. Wow. Yeah. Or someone who, let's see. I'm not down with someone who listens to too much Dave Matthews. That would not be cool with me.
Yeah.
A guy that had like a Sublime poster in his room, like that wouldn't be for me.
There's no Sublime in here, thank God. Sorry. I have an Elliot Smith poster.
I like Elliot Smith. Okay, my dramatic acting reel was cut to an Elliot Smith song. Yeah, yeah. I was like, this will make it very dramatic.
Very melancholy. Yeah, very
before
melancholy.
I did comedy, I cut a song to. Yeah. Twilight or whatever. Yeah. Wow.
So is it hard? I always ask the female comics this, is it hard dealing with male comics like picking you guys, like trying to hit on you guys when you're trying to do your craft?
Because
I hear that all over the place, even though I'm not like, a part of it.
You know what? I'm at the point now where it's like I've been doing it a while, so I feel like the males that are around me are pretty respectful because I'm not just like some like newer like female like slutty comic, you know what I mean?
Because you're at a different tier.
Yeah, like eventually you move, you start people see that you're taking your craft seriously, mm-hmm. and it's hard to be dismissive of that, mm-hmm. or to like hit on someone when you can see that they're actually putting in the work,
right?
Versus like someone who's not putting in the work, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Because I do think that like there's all types of people in comedy.
Yeah,
so.
Does this still exist? I used to go to a mic, at Pig and Whistle.
Oh.
It was in this tiny back room.
Yeah.
And then you had to pay. It was kind of like Marty's, where there's this guy, like he had Ronald McDonald hair. He was like an older comic. And then I think he had to pay him $5 too.
I bet I know this guy.
I think that was their hustle because he was like really old, maybe in his 50s or 60s.
Yeah.
And he's still kind of like lurking around and that's the way he's like hustling.
Yeah.
Does that still exist?
For sure. There's all kinds of weirdos. In comedy, you're like, how are you still going to open mics? You're just going to keep doing this indefinitely?
Yeah.
And like nothing's happening and like you're just doing this? Why?
Now, how do you tell a person like that, hey, maybe you should try doing something else?
You don't. You just say, hi, good to see you. Hope everything's going well for you, buddy. Because it's not your job. You have to stop pursuing your dreams because it's making me uncomfortable. But even if you think it, because.
No, because you brought up a good point. You're talking about dreams.
Right.
You can't shatter someone's dreams.
They have to shatter them themselves.
They have to recognize that on their own.
It's true.
Yeah. Let's talk about, you have your own podcast?
Yeah, I have my own podcast.
Let's talk about it.
It's called Shank. It is a fashion/comedy podcast.
How do you spell it?
S-H-E-N-K. Mm-hmm. And you can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and YouTube. So all those places. I just started putting it on YouTube. So when this airs, there will be an episode with Jeff Garland out on YouTube and another, maybe a singer. Just go to YouTube, check it out. Shank.
Cool.
And then also,
I like the artwork. Whoever did the poster.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The, cool. Who did that? Who did the art for that?
My buddy Adriel.
It came out cool.
Adriel. Yeah.
Because you could tell those are like things that you like. Or
yeah, he made me like a paper doll on the album cover because I love clothes, and he made it based off of clothes that I actually have. So it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's fun because I sit down with comics and I ask them about like fashion, and sometimes it's just ridiculous because it'll be like me talking to someone who like you wouldn't think would want to talk about fashion, and then I'll get like a ridiculous response out of them.
Right, right. You should get Griffin on there.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to get Griffin. Yeah, on there. Yeah, he'd be great.
So, what's up?
And then I also have I also have a weed smoking web series on Comedy Central.
Yeah, dude, I saw let's talk about that.
Yeah, it's called Shanks for Smoking.
Dude, how did you get to that level? I mean, that's huge. There's a show on Comedy Central.
Yeah, so well, I started just putting out all kinds of different content, like different cannabis content, and wasn't even cuz people will be like, is your whole personality weed? And it's like, no, that's not my whole personality.
Right.
Like, just because somebody likes drinking beer doesn't mean that's their whole personality. Right, you know right, what I mean? Right, it's right, like, right. I smoke weed. I'm going to smoke weed whether or not I put it on my Instagram. And if I put it on my Instagram and people can fucking vibe with it and I'm like, this is actually who I am.
But you would smoke regardless.
Yeah, anyway.
If Instagram didn't exist, you'd probably smoke.
Yeah, you know? So it's like... I just did a few podcasts that were weed based and posted some stuff with joints and stuff. And Comedy Central hit me up and they were like, do you have any ideas for a weed show? And I was like, yeah.
Wait, through Instagram?
I had met with them a few times, back and forth. But like, yeah, they could see that I was like making like my own content and like I had my podcast. And they said, do you have any ideas for any short form weed shows? And I was like, actually I do. And then we made
that's so cool
and it's been really fun.
Dude, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it was cool.
When you got the news, like, did that totally just brightened your day? And then do you tell your mom and dad?
Yeah, my mom and dad can see me smoking weed on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a show.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's super exciting. And I've had there's 6 episodes.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll make more.
How do the viewers and listeners tune into that? How do they find
that? They can find it on YouTube, on Comedy Central YouTube Originals. You just type in Shanks for Smoking and it'll pop right up. That's Shanks. Yeah.
S-H-E-N-K-S. Shanks.
For Smoking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, did you even... It seems to me like I'm just guessing that your intention wasn't to get a Comedy Central thing. You just did it, right?
Yeah, it's weird because it feels like things are just now starting to click after like so many years of just nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because it was just like... So many times, like, you sit down with people and they say you're going to make something or they say that they're interested in something and then nothing happens. And, like, for me, that had happened so many times that even when, like, we were talking about doing it, even as I was doing it, I couldn't even really believe that I was doing it because so many times it felt like nothing really happened.
So what's the lesson to be learned here?
Perseverance.
And just keep going. Chopping away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's I mean, okay, since you spoke upon that, do you have any suggestions for up and coming comics that are, like, want to get to your level or like want to pursue comedy?
If you have to really want to pursue comedy, like you have to really love it because it is soul sucking in a lot of ways if you don't love it, because you have to give everything to comedy. You make so many sacrifices, financial sacrifices, relationship sacrifices. Like, you'll miss out on events, like your friends getting married sometimes, or like stuff like that, because like of comedy. And you'll just want to because you'll love it so much. Like, if you're not willing to do all of that stuff, then just don't do it.
Right. Okay. What's another suggestion?
Just write. Just
write every night.
Every night, or whenever you think something that might be funny, just write it down. And it doesn't even have to be like a fully fleshed out idea. Just if you think it's funny, maybe it is funny, and you can find out how to make it more funny later.
Right. How does one find their own voice in comedy?
By just doing comedy. Like, just getting up and, like, trying and figuring out what works and what doesn't work. Like, when I first started, I would do a lot of act outs, which I don't do now at all.
What's an act
Yeah, well, yeah, describe what is an act out.
If, like, I was talking about an experience with somebody from Australia, and then I went in, like, a full Australian accent. Yeah. And, like, for me, I'm not comfortable, like, switching gears from, like,
doing your normal voice.
Yeah. Like, that's just not something that I'm comfortable with incorporating into my stand-up, but I feel like I could separate the two and do acting stuff, but not mix with my stand-up, if that makes sense. Right. Like, I just don't, it doesn't vibe for me personally. But then other people, like Chris D'Elia, he can kill an act out, or, you know what I mean? Like, just different.
You have to commit to it, don't you?
You have to fully commit to it. Yeah. And for me, like, I'm too inside my own head to fully free myself in that way, mm-hmm. in terms of, like, doing an act out in the middle of stand-up. And, like, mm-hmm. my stand-up's pretty, like, dry, like, deadpan, so.
Yeah. So what's, like, the basic formulas that, like, up-and-coming comics can learn? Is it just, like, set up punchline, or just telling stories? How does that work?
Well, for me, I don't really tell a lot of stories. I think if you're going to tell a story, you really want to just, like, trim the fat and just make it as tight as possible. Like, mm-hmm. you don't want to have, like, a story that's super long with unnecessary words. You'll lose people. If you can just, like, write it and then like punch it up and just mm-hmm. make it as tight as possible, then I would recommend that. And then set up punch is a great way to write. I mean, for me, doing Kill Tony taught me how to be funny in a minute, so it really taught me how to eliminate the extra fat from that didn't need to be there,
right,
it's like, okay, punchline, out, it's been 60 seconds,
that's it.
Yeah, so it's like, if you don't get them in right away, you're kind of screwed.
Does if one's wanting to pursue comedy, do they have to move to New York or Los Angeles to make it?
Honestly, I started in LA, so I am, you know, I think you can start from wherever. Mm-hmm. If I was somebody who lived in the Midwest, I would just start there. I would get mm-hmm. decent.
In, like,
be the best person in your hometown before you sacrifice everything. Yeah.
Right.
And then, like, eventually, I think you can only grow so much in, like, a small town with stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're the best person
in your town,
yeah, then, and you're committed to the craft, then I think you kind of need to be in a bigger city to blow up. But then also, like, for me, it's interesting because I started here, so it took me a long time to, like, get good, mm-hmm. rather than if I just moved here and I was already good.
Right.
It's just a different journey. So, you know what I mean?
No, I hear you. So what are some of your future goals through comedy? Like, what do you want to end up doing eventually?
I want to have a Netflix special. I want to have a TV show.
A comedy special.
Yeah.
Is that every comic's, like, dream to do that?
Probably.
Okay.
That's
the top, like, one of the top ending.
Yeah, like, I feel like I want to do that hopefully soon. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it, you know, almost 10 years. I feel like I have material I want to get rid of. So that's something that's in the future, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And then a TV show. And I've written a few, and I'm mm-hmm. trying to get those going. So both of those things are.
So what does one do when you've done your special? Maybe you've done 3 or 4 specials and you've done TV. Then where do you go from there? Oh, movies.
Movies, you think?
I don't know. There's no other. Where else could you go?
I think you just go wherever you feel like you want to be, right? So it's like, I don't think there's really, the thing with comedy or anything in entertainment is that there's not really one clear path. So it's like, you could do this, and then you could be interested in this. And for me, the goal is just to create stuff that I'm excited about and to mm-hmm. Go wherever I feel the most joy.
Cool. Fair enough. Seems like you're on the right path.
Hopefully. Yeah.
I mean, you're hitting your mics, you're writing, you got this Comedy Central thing going on.
Yeah.
You got your podcast as well.
Yeah.
Do you have, because we're kind of boiling down to the end too, right? As well. We got, I wanted to, let's, do you have like a website or where people could look at your stuff? Or
you can follow me on Instagram at Princess Shank, princess like normal, and then another S-H-E-N-K. Mm-hmm. I post all my show dates there on my Instagram stories. There's a link to the Comedy Central show there, mm-hmm. and I also swipe up to my podcast there too. And then Twitter at Princess Shank as well for show dates and jokes, mm-hmm. all that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we have 10. Okay. This, I want to end it with this. You have to say three more things wrong with my apartment.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't tell if you're fucking with me or
no,
not.
No, I'm not. I just want to know.
Okay.
Yeah.
This cord.
You haven't even looked into the box there.
Like, I'm afraid.
I have a box here.
No. This cord.
Okay. Which one?
This cord. You know which cord.
With this one right here?
This one, yeah.
It's for lighting, though. I mean,
it's a good lighting vibe.
Yeah.
But maybe...
No, but when the podcast is over, I disconnect it automatically.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
It's not like...
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
What else?
Do you really want me to tell you?
Yeah. I could take it.
Wow. It's a wild journey here. Okay, I have a question.
Okay.
Is that Aladdin? I'm looking at an Aladdin figurine.
Oh yeah,
that's
it is.
On your refrigerator.
It's a Bobby Brown. There's a Bobby Brown tape and a go box lunch box, and there's an Aladdin figurine
next to a thing of wet Swiffers
yeah,
on the
next
fridge
thing with a boiler, wet Swiffers, and yeah. But in my defense,
yes,
someone, because I do another. A vlog called Stevie's P.O. Box, a fan
mm-hmm.
sent that to me.
Which?
I don't have the name off top.
No,
I'm
not
positive.
Which fan, but which stuff?
All of that stuff. The GoBots. The,
oh,
the lunchbox.
Okay, okay.
The Bobby Brown tape.
Okay.
And the Aladdin
okay,
figurine.
Okay, okay, okay.
So that's, is that...
That's fine.
That gets me, I'm in the clear,
you're
right?
You're in the clear.
Okay.
Okay.
What else? So that's one.
The I voted sticker, it's like, okay. Did you?
Craig, did I vote?
It's like...
Yeah, Craig went with me.
Weird
Craig.
Flex. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. We'll remove that later on in the week. Okay. All right, what else?
Do you really want me to keep going?
Yeah,
because
I love
go,
it.
You get really
I
defensive.
I love it.
You go, no, it's fine. Everything's fine.
No, I'm not. I don't take offense to it at all. Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Get in there. Go ahead. What about the wig? There's a wig.
Oh, I see the In Your Fireplace above the records.
Yeah.
Which there are a ton of vinyl records.
What else are you looking at?
There's a lot of hats. Seems like you might be a hat guy. What?
These?
Yeah, but what are those ones? The ones you don't want people to say.
I don't want to talk about that. That's a mystery. That's for
Why are you being weird about those hats?
Yeah, well, no, that a specific one I can't talk about.
Well, that one's the most interesting. Well,
it's a character. It's
okay,
it's
okay,
character.
Okay, okay.
So these?
Yeah, the fact that you're, it's just funny that they were in the fireplace above some albums. What's that one?
A derby. It's from the movie that you're scared of, It. Chapter 2.
Oh.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
Okay.
This is not normal?
I don't think so.
All these hats?
You have a lot of hats.
I mean, what's wrong?
How many of them are you wearing?
Not that much.
Yeah.
I don't know why. You're right. How would you equate it to a female? Like, is it like a female having like scarves? Like too many scarves?
Yeah.
Like 100
yeah.
scarves.
Yeah. It's like.
It's weird.
It's not like. It's like. I just knew that you're not wearing all of them.
How did you know that?
Because
you
as someone
that.
Who
you
has
you
multiple hats,
you
there's only
just...
two that I really like.
Which ones?
Of my personal hat collection.
Oh.
Are you a
minimalist?
No.
Oh.
I have a ton of clothes.
Okay. But what's wrong with these hats?
I'm saying. Looking at your hats right now,
yeah.
Tell me which hats you actually wear, because I know you don't wear all of them, and you know you don't wear all of them. I bet there's two or three that you like more than the rest.
These two I wear the most.
Okay.
Because it's my friend and artist David Cho. It's his hat that yeah. he designed.
Yeah.
And then this That's is cool my one. Homeboy, Mestizo's, his clothing business. It's called Heavyweight Global.
Cool.
And he sent this to me.
Cool.
And he's a good friend of mine. Like, I've known him since he was 15 years old.
I respect that.
So that's why I wear these two.
All right. But so these ones.
Those are just, you're right. I don't know how I ended up with them. Craig gave me a few. Craig gave me at least two. Because Craig is a giving person. He's constantly
so this
giving
is Craig's gift. Fault. It's not. No, I'm just fault, kidding. I'm kidding.
No, he's a type of person that is always giving.
That's nice, Craig.
Yeah, so he's always giving me stuff, like hats and stuff like that. Yeah, for birthdays and stuff. It's crazy. You didn't even mention the wig that's in there.
You did.
Yeah,
it's under the beanie. Wig, yeah. There's a wig. Yeah. What is that about? Character?
Yeah, this is stuff. It's just fun. Just to have.
Yeah, it's just fun.
Wow, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's a Zelda, Legend of Zelda.
No.
Yeah, it's from a video game.
Do you like video games?
Oh yeah, I'm taking. Oh a high, yeah. Isn't that a red flag though? Too?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Let's talk about it.
I see your controller.
Yeah. There you go. Get to the
Let's
real.
Let's get to the issues.
Yeah.
The video game controller.
What do you have an issue with?
Uh-oh.
With video games? No, I'm just curious. What's the issue?
Okay. How often are we doing it? How often are we gaming?
I'm on a hiatus because I want to write.
What does that mean?
That means that there's a new expansion pack that came out with a game I was playing called Destiny 2. I did not purchase it. I haven't turned on my system for, how long has it been, Craig? 2 weeks? It's been two weeks.
Is it hard?
Yeah.
You seem yeah. like you're it gonna is, like it is, break it is. Out into like a cold sweat.
No, because just like you, I'm like working on new music and I wanna, cool. I just had a realization that the more time, cause when we play, it's at least 8 hours. We play till like 7 a.m. We play till 7 a.m.
Really?
Ren, do we play out? How many hours? We put in a list of hours. We're not playing 30 minutes and getting off.
No, but it's not 7.
5. We're playing not, at least
You guys
five.
Are having
it. Ren, are we at least... Ren's been watching. He's watched us for at least 3, right?
I think you guys cut the stream before, and then you guys keep going.
Do you guys do like Twitch?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a podcast that we did called WFE. Eric Griffin is a part of it.
Cool.
And it's like we all would stream and play games together.
Well, that's fun.
And when my girlfriend lived here, it got in the way because she would be trying to sleep and
would kill you.
And then she would get up and be like, "Really?" And I'm like, "I'm so sorry, babe."
What would you be playing?
It's addicting because it's competitive. You're playing other people that have the same
kind of
skill
system?
Level as you.
What kind of system
Xbox
is this?
Xbox One.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You're
just
still dueling?
I'm having. Yeah.
Are you not afraid?
Okay, so with this?
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with this?
Dueling?
Yeah.
Isn't it like bad to do?
Well, in my defense, I chewed tobacco for 10 years. My teeth are turning black. So what's
Let's
better?
See. Okay.
They're getting pink again. Hopefully. but they were black and then they were bleeding.
Dude, go Nicorette.
I tried. I couldn't do it. I used to smoke cigarettes.
Okay.
And so when I quit, I'm sober now. I'm off. This is the only thing I do. But I always like, because there's flavors like vanilla, tobacco flavors that I like. I enjoy it.
Okay. But well, you do you, Stevie.
But I will. I am going to quit eventually everything.
That's just your last thing.
That's
my
last
thing.
That's
like your security blanket for now.
Okay, so like, hey, dude, thanks for coming by.
Thanks
that
for
was awesome.
Me.
Did you have
so
fun?
So much fun. Thank,
Thank
you for having
you.
Me.
At the end, we'll talk at the end as far as, because we like to get a list of other people you might find good on here.
Yeah, just let her promote her
Yeah. Let's promote your Instagram, your website, all your stuff again, your podcast as well. Yeah. And then I have a couple things too.
Okay, cool. You can find my podcast, Shenk, S-H-E-N-K, on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Laughable, and YouTube, Sarah Weinchenk YouTube. And then you can find my Comedy Central series, Shenks for Smoking, on Comedy Central Original YouTube. Mm-hmm. And you can follow me at Princess Shenk on Instagram and Twitter for show dates.
And Shenk is S-H-E-N-K.
Yes.
W-E-I-N-S-H-E-N-K.
Correct.
Sarah is not with the H, it's S-A-R-A. A.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Dude, you did great, man.
Thanks for having me. It was so much awesome. Fun.
So, we have a Patreon attached to the show. If you want to keep the show above ground, then... If you make your pledge, if you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/stevieweeby, all with double E's. Our newest patron for this week is Andrew. Welcome, Andrew. I have a new website, so go to stevieweebyshow.com. Buy a shirt if you want. If you don't want to buy a shirt, you don't have to. All my music's at stevieweebybandcamp.com. And shout out to the sponsor. Again, Mac Weldon. Go get some threads there. Check that out. Mac Weldon. Okay. Weldon. We have a new thing called Stevie on the Streety, where I do street interviews. And people seem to like it. And so look out for those. Renz also and Craig, we're working on clips as well. So we're adding that in the mix. Let's say, what am I forgetting? Oh, yeah. I have a new... content called Stevie's P.O. Box, where people send in packages and I unbox them on camera. Send your packages to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. Support the Homies podcast, Necro Electric, Losco Projects, and WFE. And now it's time for Little Ray's World. Good having you, buddy.
Yay.
Welcome to Lil Ray's World Show. All I gotta say is kids' minds must grow. I got abducted by some aliens dropped in snow. Whoa. Stuck into a world that I do not know. So join me in adventures now. And I promise not to have a cow. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey, hey. So welcome to my world. To all the boys and girls.
The Little Ray's World. Yeehaw! What the hell do we got here this week, babe? Looks like a random dude. Hey, man. Hey, partner, what's your name? What are you doing around these parts, man?
I don't know.
You don't know what your name is, man? Well, how the hell'd you end up here, partner? You don't know how you died or ended up here, or you don't know your name?
I don't know.
You're really starting to frustrate me, partner. What is your goddamn name? And look at me in my goddamn eyes, partner. Oh, my God. I'm starting to lose my patience here. Beep. Can you run diagnostics on this guy? Beep, beep. Beep, beep, beep. Well, there's no information on him or what? So you're telling me you're just another John Doe?
I don't know.
You know what, man? I don't got time for this, partner. But me and Beep wrote a song about you anyway. Mr. John Doe. This one's about John Doe, man.
John Doe, woo! Mm.
Oh no, another John Doe, he's my foe. Where did he come from? Man, nobody knows. We try to bestow a gift. He said, no, don't disrespect my robot. You'll feel my blow. I'll play you like a banjo in the cold. If you keep on saying nothing, these things I'll throw. I'd rather talk to a reindeer in snow. I miss my buddy from the south. His name was Joe. Keep looking at me. 6 feet below is where you'll go. I miss my stove on this weirdo. When the time flies by slow, don't be a wise guy, bro. Won't be alive to show. If you don't have a name, you're just another John Doe. We'll leave you in the past many years ago. Reap what you sow, you can't keep what you owe. Me and beef have been stuck here at an old time low. John Doe, you're just another John Doe. John Doe, you're just another John Doe. John Doe, oh, just another John Doe. John Doe. Join us in about 2 weeks or so for another episode of Little Ray's World, man. And make sure you go to www.stevieweebyshow.com and get some of that cool merch, man. Let's get her done.
Ooh la la.